Hello, and welcome to My Cape York Life, a podcast sharing the stories of the people who live on and care for one of the world's most special places, Cape York Peninsula.
We're on a 9,000-acre property just north of Lakeland. We've had good rain over the last 3 weeks, so it's beautiful and green outside.
Excellent clean water, wide rivers, lots of mangroves, lush vegetation, beautiful sand.
Cape York's a bit like that, it gets in your blood.
Oh, I wish we'd stayed longer, you know, the landscapes are so beautiful and the history's so interesting.
As a child in Cooktown, if we went to Cairns, it was probably once a year, and you'd leave at daylight and didn't get to Cairns until that night.
So that idea that you had of coming up to the Cape and you're going to make your fortune in cattle.
45 years later and nearly there.
If you live on the Cape, maybe you visited or have a dream to roll out your swag one day, My Cape York Life is for you. You can stream us at our Cape York Land Manager website or download us on your favourite podcasting app. The podcast comes to you from Cape York Natural Resource Management with support from South Cape York Catchments and the Australian Government's National Land Care Program. And you can look for us on Facebook and Twitter. This episode of My Cape York Life takes us to Port Stewart on the east coast of Cape York on the beautiful Princess Charlotte Bay. It's a 600-kilometre drive from Cairns along some bumpy dirt roads, and depending on which way you go, a fair chunk of the journey is through national parks increasingly cared for by local Indigenous rangers. Cape York is a place that many people assume to be pristine, but in fact, many years of settlement has meant that much of the country has been put under pressure from weeds, feral animals, and the impacts of development. It is now well recognised that the best people to care for country are the people who've been part of the landscape for many thousands of years. Ranger programs provide a means for people to live on country and take care of it. Indigenous rangers combine thousands of years of traditional knowledge with Western science to care for their land and sea country. There are more than 100 Indigenous ranger groups around Australia, and their work recognises that environmental and cultural well-being are inextricably linked. Here we are at the Port Stewart Ranger Base. Years back, this was a busy shipping port, taking out cattle from stations all over central Cape York. Now, traditional owners are back on country, living and working on their traditional lands. The closest town is Cowan, and it's almost 90 kilometres away. Let's meet Wilfred Peter and Michaela Down.
Cowan is about 90 k's northwest of us, and Port Stewart is on the east coast. It's situated like at the northern end of the Princess Charlotte Bay, and it's got about two camping areas, or settlements, if you want to call it that. We have about 15 to 20 people living down here. We also have Silver Plains. We've got guys staying over there running the cattle station and working out of Silver Plains. It's a nice area, mostly open plains and open forest area. A lot of eucalypts and wattles and things like that. Port Stewart is actually sort of the mouth area because the Stewart River runs straight out from here, and the settlements are kind of situated on the Stewart River. Port Stewart actually came about because back in the days they had a big port here.
And what used to come in and out of here?
Big barges and stuff used to come in, and like ships to take out cattle and things like that.
So can you describe Cowan for us?
Well, Cowan is about 500-600 k's north of Cairns. It sits, probably the best way to describe it is right in the centre of Cape York. You can't miss it. You got to go through it to get to Weipo or anywhere up north. It's a pretty small town. It's surrounded by hills and really nice area to live in, I suppose, and got rivers running through, and yeah, it's got about 500 people living there. Yeah.
And so that's where you grew up? And did you go to school there as well?
Yeah, I did all the way up to year 7 there, and then I went off to high school.
So we'll start off with primary school in Cowan. What was it like being a kid at Cowan State School?
It was Cowan State School back then. It's now the Cape York Australian Academy something or other, and it's the Cowan campus. So, yeah, it was pretty good. I was a bit of a teacher's pet, you might say.
Why were you the teacher's pet?
I'm not talking myself up, but I was pretty smart in primary school.
Fair enough. And so how big is the school? How many kids would have been there when you were there?
About 30, 40 kids when I was there. I think the kids there now are only about maybe 50, 60. So it doesn't change that much over the years. Probably about, on average, about between 40 and 50 kids every year that attend the school.
What did you do on the weekends? What kinds of things does a kid growing up in Cowan do?
Probably what every other kid does. We used to go to the river, go swimming, fishing. Used to come down to Port Stewart a lot. During that time, that was when we were starting to like get our land back and stuff like that. So we came down quite a bit, went camping, looked at different sites and stuff like that. So, yeah, did a lot of camping.
Whereabouts did you go to high school?
I moved around a bit. So I went to a boarding school at Blackheath and Thornborough College in Charters Towers. I was there for 2 years. I left there and then I lived with my mother who'd moved up to Charters Towers to be closer to me. So I ended up moving in and living with her and my siblings, and I went to the Charters Towers State High School for 2 years. I went back home after that and then finished off year 12 at Atherton State High School and boarding at Woodley College.
Okay, and what was it like there? Quite a few young people from the Cape go to that school as well. And what about the boarding school, like in Charters Towers and that? Were there many other kids that you knew?
When I was at Blackheath and Thornborough College, I had my cousin Tasha living, going to school there as well. And after I left, she ended up leaving as well. And then when I was at the state school at Charters Towers, I had a lot of family from down there because my dad's family actually lived down there, and he was actually from Charters Towers. So I had a lot of my dad's family down there, so I kind of got to know them. So it was kind of good and not good at the same time. And then at Atherton, at Woodley College, they had a lot of kids from around the NPA area, like Konyama and Pompera and them kind of places. Not a lot, but enough to keep the boarding house open.
So when you've made those friendships and connections, are they people that you still stay in touch with?
Yeah, most of them, the ones that I grew close with. And even the other ones I talk to every now and again. So I still keep in contact with people.
When did you come back up this way?
Well, after I graduated, I actually moved to Sydney for 2 years to study careers in dance at Naysda Dance College. And after about 2 years, I kind of didn't like it, so I just left and came back home. And I wasn't really doing anything. I was trying to figure stuff out. And then I was working at the pub for a couple of years. Maybe like a year and a half. And then they had a traineeship going with the Land Trust Rangers, they were called back then. And they had a traineeship going, so I did that traineeship. And it was through Skilling Queenslanders for Work. And it was through that program. So I did that traineeship and got a certificate one in conservation and land management. And then I just haven't moved since then.
Let's go back to your time in Sydney a little bit, because that sounds pretty amazing. Coming from far north Queensland, anywhere in far north Queensland really, growing up even in Cairns and moving to Sydney is a pretty big move. So what was it like down there?
It wasn't that bad because where I lived, it was like a small suburb. So just kind of like I was just living in a town anyway. And I didn't have to go that many places, and there was always like easy transport and stuff like that. So I found it quite okay to get around and to live there.
And what about the dance school?
Oh, it was pretty good. The school itself was pretty good. I did every kind of dance, so like from ballet to like hip hop and jazz and stuff like that. And contemporary and Afro jazz and tap dancing.
Were there any that you liked in particular?
I always liked doing the traditional dancing, so they used to get tutors in from like different places. So the time I was there, we always had tutors from Alco Island come in. They'd do residency, so they'd come down for like 2 weeks to Sydney, and like they'd live there, like we'd provide accommodation and stuff like that for them, and they'd teach us the dancing and even like give us traditional names. The rest of it was like maybe a week and a half. We'd actually go to them, to wherever they lived, got to do the dancing with like the community members and stuff like that. And another one was in Saibai Island, so we got to go up there for like a week and got to do a lot of that stuff up there as well. And yeah, see firsthand. It's always good seeing firsthand how the traditional owners of that dance or like culture do it. Yeah.
And Saibai Island is in the Torres Strait. Can you give people a bit of a picture about where it is and, you know, how far away it is and what it looks like?
Well, when I was there, it's very colourful. Like, there's a lot of flowers and stuff around, and it's really nice because it's right, like, the sea is just right, like, all the houses are right there on the shoreline, and it's always just nice just to get out, be near the sea.
So from Sydney back to Cowan, and then you did your traineeship, and here you are still with the Rangers. So how old are you now, Michaela?
I'm 24 now. I think I started when I was 19, when I started the traineeship. 24 now.
And what kind of roles have you had along the way? So now your role is engagement and planning officer. What other things have you done along the way?
So after I did the traineeship, they put me on as a casual ranger for about 8 months. And then they had full-time positions available, and I applied for one, but I didn't get that. So I just stayed as a casual for a couple more months, and then they just said, you're doing pretty good. So they gave me a full-time position. And then maybe a year later, I sort of just felt like I could do other things instead of helping out in the field. Even though I did love working in the field, I just thought I could help in other ways. So then they made a position for me, and that was the engagement and education officer. And then that changed from that to engagement and communications officer, and then that changed to engagement and planning officer. So, yeah, employed as a project officer under Yinjika Aboriginal Corporation, and loving it so far.
What kind of jobs have you been doing? Like, what are the tasks that you do in those roles?
I do a lot of, like, media stuff. So I make a lot of posters and newsletters. I'm, like, one of the editors for our newsletter. It's called Yinjinka News, that we try to get out every 3-4 months a year.
And it's a beautiful newsletter. I know whenever it arrives in my mailbox, I love reading it. It's beautiful stories, but beautiful images as well.
Yeah, and it's a good piece of information to have, because it's easy for us to get what we're doing out to people as well. And people always say they love reading the stories and that, and we just love promoting what we do as well. So newsletter is one of the best ways to go about it, I think.
And you were saying you produce things like posters, etc. What are the posters for? What do you do with those?
They're resources, I think, mostly. We have posters for weeds, like a lot of the weeds that we have on country. And I'm working on a biodiversity series, and they're posters about the different kinds of animals and plants and stuff that we have on country. And we have, like, from the weed posters, we just put out a weed dex. So that's one of the other stuff that I work on as well. And I do, I help, like our executive officer or people that we work with. I work with them as well to work on our management plans and stuff like that. So that stuff comes to me and I review it and just send it back until it gets, you know, done properly.
So as a ranger with this group or as a worker, employee with this group, you get to do some pretty amazing things, don't you? You get some part of your professional development and part of the sharing of cultural knowledge. You go to places like different conferences and workshops. So what are some of the things that you've done?
I've been to quite a few, actually. We went to a workshop at the start of the year. And that was it was a senior rangers workshop, but it basically was different ranger groups, like showing what stuff they're good at. So we had a lot of different groups giving presentations about the different projects that they have. And it was good because we actually went and presented on how we actually develop our newsletter. So, yeah, we got a lot of feedback from that and everyone thought it was really good. Yeah. We also do like community stuff, so we don't just go to projects to do with like conservation and stuff like that. We also go to conferences or workshops to do with well-being and things like that. Like for instance, like our cultural officer Annie Elaine Liddy and one of our full-time rangers Annie Annalise Baird and Annie Allison Liddy. She's one of our admin officers. They actually are just coming back from a Indigenous women's conference at the moment.
Land management and well-being is pretty closely linked, isn't it?
We try to marry the two together so that the whole purpose of us being on country and working is to get something back for us, like to make us better to be able to work, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, it does. So quite recently, I think as much as yesterday, you might have just gotten back on a trip from Cairns, which was actually a trip from somewhere else. Would you like to tell us about your latest adventure, where you've been and why you were there?
That was returning from a 10-day work trip from Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Yeah, so we went over for 10 days or 9. We went to the IUCN World Conservation Congress, and IUCN is the International Union for the Conservation of Nature. They have those conferences, I think, every 4 years. Yeah, we went over, myself and Annie Tracy Lee, who is our TAMRA coordinator, and to see what other people were doing on their like country. I think the most stuff we got out of it was, like, a lot of people are not trying to rely so much on, like, government and things like that, and to try and do things on their country. Everything that I saw was just local groups that were trying to just make their place better, like their country better for their next generation, like kind of like what we have. But we get, like, funding to do what we do, and they kind of have to rely on themselves most of the time.
So when you're at a conference like that, that's pretty amazing. There's people from all over the world, and you've just said, you know, you're learning lots of different things. What kinds of things would you have learnt while you're over there that you would bring back or relate to the work that you do here?
One thing I found interesting was NOAA. One of their projects that they had there was it was called Science on a Sphere. So they had essentially a big golf ball looking thing that had projectors pointing at it from like 4 different angles, and it looked like there was a tiny planet floating in the room. It was pretty incredible. And one of the talks that they gave was about coral reefs and coral bleaching, and it was interesting because we had a bleaching event this year that kind of gave us a scare. And then we did our surveys down the southern end, and we found that we have, like, a lot of saltwater incursion happening, and, like, the sea level, like, the changes in the sea level, like, it's rising. I found that interesting because they actually did a talk about it, and they were saying that in as little as like 20 years, like we were going to be seeing, it's a coral bleaching event every year. So that's every year the sea temperature is going to be rising, and then not giving it enough time to like adjust for it to go back to cool, and then the corals like, you know, like regenerate and stuff like that. Because that's what happens when there's a coral bleaching. It's because the temperature gets too hot, and then the coral dies. And then when the temperature goes back to normal, then they regenerate, and then it's all fine, mostly.
But they need to have time to be able to do that, and they need to have periods where there's not that happening every year. Is that right?
Yeah. So it's at the moment it's only like every decade or so, or even longer. Like the last one we had was like maybe 20 years ago. From having that much time difference to every year.
So how does that make you feel?
I was pretty sad. I was standing there, I was very sad. I felt like crying. It's very devastating.
It's pretty scary, isn't it?
Mm. And it hasn't even happened yet.
So learning about those things and bringing that stuff back, are there things that you can do here then to prepare people and country for those incidents?
We can't really do much about that because that's not happening like in the small areas. That's more to do with like big industries. Yeah, I don't know. That's my opinion, is we can't do much about it.
So Michaela, what are the things that you would like to see going into the future for both this country here that you live and work on, which is your country, and also for Cape York into the future? What challenges do you see?
I think the biggest thing for us is being able to self-manage. Like, even though we do, so like, but we at the moment get support for the stuff that we do. But I think our goal is to be able to support ourselves, like financially and stuff like that. So, like, I think in the future that's kind of what we're aiming for, and being able to get like a lot more of the our like traditionals and that back on country working and yeah.
Michaela Down, working in the ranger program at Port Stewart in beautiful Lumma Lumma country on eastern Cape York Peninsula. You're listening to My Cape York Life, streaming at Cape York Land Manager. Look for podcasts. Wilfred Peter is a ranger at Port Stewart and nearby Silver Plains Station. He grew up at the very northern tip of Cape York. Working here as a ranger allows him to be close to his new hometown, Cowan, 90 kilometres away. Wilfred loves welcoming visitors, the freedom and challenges of outdoor work, and maintaining and strengthening his connection to his country.
Just had various different jobs back then, and then just decided to try and just come back to work on country a bit more and get involved out here. And so, yeah, it's been great since I started.
Were you born here?
I was born in Cairns. I grew up at Yamagico up in the NPA, and then later moved to Cowan when I was about 8, 9, I think, when we moved back to Cowan, yeah.
Yamagico is a very beautiful place, a lovely part of the world. What was it like growing up there?
Oh, it was beautiful, yeah. Fishing, out all day, hanging out with families and friends and getting together for big feastings and celebrations and watching footy every night at the local, at Bamiga, so yeah. It was pretty good growing up back up at the NPA.
NPA is the Northern Peninsula area, and that's right up the top of Cape York.
Yes, it is, yep.
And then you came back down to Cowan?
Yeah, moved to Cowan when I was about 8, 9. We went to primary school up when we was up at Bamiga, and then later moved to Cowan and continued our primary schooling at Cowan, at the Cowan State School. Till when we started getting older, we were moved out to boarding schools. I myself went to Yeppoon, just outside Rockhampton, went to St. Brendan's College and done my years 8 to year 12 there.
What was it like in Yeppoon going away to boarding school? Because that's something a lot of Cape kids do, isn't it? They go away to boarding school. So how long were you away from your family and what was that like living away?
It was a bit different to Cowan, Yeppoon, because Cowan, we're like right in the middle of the Cape and Yeppoon is right on the coast, so it was different, and by the size of it as well, because Cowan probably has a population a bit less than 500, and when you go into a big place like Yeppoon, which is a couple of thousands at least, so yeah, it was a big change. And we were away from our family most of the time, only coming back home for the school holidays, and it didn't last much because it was only for a couple of weeks and then it was back to school again.
And so you finished off high school down there?
Yeah, I graduated in 2008.
And were there other kids from that you knew from Cowan or from the Cape that were down there with you?
There was a fair few kids from the NPA area that was there. We had some students from Lockhart River, and myself and my two younger brothers were there, and had a lot of kids from the Torres Strait as well.
So some family connections and friends, so you still had a bit of a social network?
Yeah, we had some of the boys, especially from the NPA and Lockhart, were closely related to us, so we still had that strong family connection there, and then we made friends, so it was even better.
So when you're down at boarding school, what do you do? So you're obviously there for day-to-day, Monday to Friday schooling. What about weekends? What kinds of things did you get to do on a weekend?
We was all mainly involved with rugby league, playing both rugby league for the school and also some of the clubs around the Rockhampton district, so Rocky and Gracemere, Yeppoon and all that.
Were you a good footballer?
No, not really, but yeah. Got involved with my club, played for the... Back then we was the Rocky All Blacks, but then the name got changed to the Rocky Tigers. And yes, it was a good club, and also played for the Gracemere Cubs, which is another footy club out there, yeah.
So you finished boarding school at Yeppoon?
Yep.
So you've done that, and then what happens? Where do you go next?
After graduating, I moved back to Yamagico the start of 2009 and worked around there for the Northern Peninsula Area Regional Council, working with the parks and gardens at Yamagico, and then later moved back to Cowan, and that is when they first started the Lum Lum Land Trust, which we have here put in place now. Yeah, really enjoy being out in the outdoors and working with the parks and gardens here. Really good. It's not really what I wanted to do, but it was a job and couldn't refuse that, yeah.
Because you can't be too picky when you're on the Cape, can you? It's not like there's lots of jobs going.
Yeah, like everyone said, there's not much opportunities in the Cape, so what's available, just take it.
So you come back to Cowan. Can you tell us when you came back here?
After I left Yamagico, I lived in Mareeba for a year, then moved to Cowan in early 2010, and then just started working at the school in Cowan as a teacher's aide.
So what was that like? That must have been pretty interesting and a big change from working in parks and gardens.
Yeah, it was a big change coming from working parks and gardens and moving away, having some other jobs, and then being a teacher's aide.
And did you like working with the kids there?
At first it was a hassle, but then you got to love the kids with all the things that all the stuff they would bring to you and say to you.
And what kinds of work did you do with the kids? What were you doing?
Every afternoon we have a club and culture. Club, it's basically the phys ed. So we do sports with the kids every afternoon for about an hour and a half. And then culture is basically because Cowan has about six different tribes, six or seven, and you know we teach the kids get some of the other clan group, like clan traditional owners, to come in and have a yarn with the kids, to tell them about where they're from and what's their totem and all that. And then we teach the kids about other cultures outside of Australia as well.
So you went to university as well. Whereabouts did you study?
I studied at Deakin University in Geelong, studying my Bachelor of Education primary. That was during my time being a teacher's aide at Cowan. So when the teachers just asked me if I considered to go, or asked me if I wanted to go to uni, I just said yeah, and then been there for a good 2.5, close to 3 years studying at Deakin.
Is that when you started working with the Rangers after that?
Yeah, I started working with the Rangers Easter of last year. Yeah, so then I just needed a change of job, and so just said, oh, hopefully there's a job for me at working as a Ranger. And yeah, because my mum was always pushing me to try and ask at the Rangers, because at the time I was trying to find another job elsewhere, another place, but then I rang Gav and asked if there was jobs available, and he just said yeah.
And here you are, you're still here.
Yeah, still here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So can you tell me what a day in the life of a Ranger is for you? What are the things that you do on a day-to-day basis and sort of over the course of the year?
Well, day-to-day we start off with our annual, like a toolbox meeting at the start of the week to discuss what's going to be happening throughout the week. And so we do everything from basically fixing up, checking around the outstation where I work over at Silver Plains, just do fence, like checking the fences, repairing broken fence, and then have a check around the campsites of tourists and collecting rubbish. And then probably during the week, we would have a patrol around the area as well, do some patrol to make sure that some of the tourists aren't doing bad things around the place, and just hand out brochures and spread the good news about what we do as a Ranger and what our job is about. Yeah.
And what parts of the job are the bits that you like the best?
Probably interacting with other people as they come in, and the travelling. Yeah, we get to travel a lot to some conference and get to see what other Ranger groups are doing around their area as well.
And what kinds of things are there? So what kinds of conferences do you go to, and what do you learn while you're away?
I went to the Girigan Land and Sea Conference in Mission Beach. Yeah, so yeah, just me and some of the other ladies that was rangers that was on the, I think on the Tamra committee, went down and had a look at what some of the other rangers have in place for their Tamra on their sea country. The Tamra is actually traditional use of marine resources agreement. Yeah, it's basically just so it was put in place for the number of sea animals that we traditionally hunt and all that. It was put in place to make sure that only a certain amount is taken at a certain time, so we don't overhunt anything in our sea country, and to make sure there's probably enough there for the later generations. So yeah, we had rangers from, I think, the Wutthi Rangers from up near Lockhart River, some as far as Bundaberg. Yeah, so we got to see what they're doing on their sea country and their work, how they're handling their stuff on their Tamra as well.
So it's a pretty big area that stretches, that the Lama Lama Land Trust covers, isn't it? Stretches from...
Yeah, the Lama Lama traditional land stretches from Massey River up in the north and continues to the northern end of the Normanby River, which is actually the southern boundary of the Lum Lum area. So looking at the whole of the Princess Charlotte Bay is under the Lum Lum, like the Yinjinka Land Trust or the Lum Lum Land Trust.
So what is it that you love most about being a ranger?
Just being outdoor and being connected to the country. Because I grew up here, poor student, when we moved back from New Mexico, and it's always been home for me. And, been here with my grandparents and all that, and So it's always been home. And, yeah, I'm glad to be working here.
So you're 25 and you're working back here on traditional lands. It's a pretty important thing for you. What do you see the future of this country? What would you like to see in the future, and what does it mean for you? You know, what kinds of things will help to sustain the country and look after it into the future for kids into the future?
Tourism would actually play a big role down here, because there's a lot of very lovely places around here and that people would go sightseeing and all that. And because we have tourism with the Oz tour, and yeah, but we would like to see more other opportunities as well that to bring with tourism. Yeah.
And can you see yourself as a ranger, staying with the ranger program into the future?
I would say yes, but then again, there's actually looking for new things. But for the meantime, yeah, I still stay as a ranger till then.
Michaela Down and Wilfred Peter, part of the Lama Lama Ranger Program, speaking to us at Port Stewart on the east coast of Cape York Peninsula, where the waterways are pristine and visitors are always welcome. It's well worth the drive. Next time on My Cape York Life, we head to spectacular country at Janie Creek near Marpoon on the Western Cape, at the height of turtle nesting season.
I go out in the morning, seeing what's attacked the turtle nests, you know, checking footprints, doing all that sort of stuff. Sometimes digging up a nest to measure the eggs and, you know, get a sort of count of what's going on. And then come back, have a break, and then go out again at night time, which is when the turtles come up onto the beach to lay. So we try and sort of find them as they're laying. You know, we can tag them if they're not already tagged, you know, do egg counts, all that sort of thing, measure them, and just do get a general idea of how the numbers are going, how the breeding season's going. Because both the turtles we have here, Olive Ridley's and the Flatback, are both on the, you know, the special list. They're in danger. So, you know, we sort of focus on that. And the scientists tell us that we need to have about 70% success with hatchlings to maintain a good, healthy population.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of My Cape York Life. It's brought to you by Cape York Natural Resource Management, with support from South Cape York Catchments and the Australian Government's National Landcare Program. You can find us at Cape York NRM on your web browser and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Lyndall Scoble. Thanks for listening to My Cape York Life. And please share our podcasts with your family and friends. Podcasts with your